Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. On today's episode, I am going to continue my story of incarceration from where I left off from last week's episode, where I told you what it was like being in there and how I couldn't go to work release right away and about my pregnancy while I was in there. So the main focus of today's episode is going to be centered around giving birth to my daughter and placing her for adoption. And at the end, I will also be telling you, as always, the lessons I learned and some affirmations for you to be able to let the good things into your life as well. I also would love to say, again, how grateful I am for each and every one of you who take the time out of your week to listen to me and the guests that I have on the show. So thank you again for that. And if you are really liking the Let Good Things In show, make sure to leave me a review on Apple Podcasts so others can find the show more easily. All right, let's dive in. So there I was in jail, somewhere I thought I would never be, especially during a pregnancy and just in general. You know, I grew up, you know, very shy, reserved, unpopular, like I was never the cool kid. And I didn't even get detention. I never even had detention in my life. Have never even been in any kind of trouble at all in my life. So this was a very eye-opening experience just for that alone, let alone the pregnancy. When I was very young, I can remember thinking that I would never be a mother. I didn't think I had what it took to be a good mother. For some reason, I always thought I was too selfish or that I wouldn't be able to raise a child who would have the things that he or she would need throughout life. And now, you know, I had given my oldest daughter up for adoption already a few years prior to getting pregnant with my daughter now. And I also had my son. You know, I had custody of my son and he was a huge part of my life. So I was feeling really ashamed of myself for abandoning him because I chose to make this decision that wound me behind bars for almost an entire year of his life. And there I was pregnant with another daughter. I can remember, you know, talking to her in the shower and telling her that I was sorry that I couldn't keep her, but I needed her to know that she deserved a better life. So I reached out to the adoption agency that I had used previously to see if those parents wanted another child, because I truly knew that these people were good people. I'd been getting pictures of my oldest, and I just knew that they would be perfect for her too, and I also wanted them to be real sisters, so they would automatically have that bond of being actual sisters. So when I reached out to them and they told me that the parents were more than excited and happy and grateful to add another baby girl to their family, I was excited, but I also felt torn because seeing my son and having him made it different, because I knew that even though, I guess I can't say I knew I'd be a good mother, but I knew what it felt like to have a child in my arms and take care of that child. And I knew what it was all like, and I knew I was capable. You know, back when I had my oldest, I had nothing to reference. I didn't know I was capable. Not to say that made it easier, but it was just a different experience. And I remember being in work release, I was allowed to leave and go to my doctor's appointments and, you know, hear her heartbeat. And I got to name her, and I would talk to her with her name, and it made it so real. I felt like me and her had a bond, even though she didn't exist in the outside world yet. She was there with me when I got sentenced. She was there with me when I walked through the doors of jail for the first time after being sentenced and knowing that I had no way out. There was no bailing me out. We survived that together. So it was an August day. You know, I have a hard time remembering exact dates of things. And whenever I had reached out to the agency before and I told them, they asked me what their birthdays were. And I said, I honestly don't know. And they said that was a normal thing for birth parents to experience because our brain likes to shut off things, right? Like if something really traumatic happened to you, there's certain details that your brain just won't allow you to remember to protect yourself. And I really think the reason why I can't remember the birth dates of my daughters or exact dates is because I would fixate on that and it would make me sad. And whether that's selfish or not is honestly irrelevant because for me, I need to be able to live my life in the present and not be reminded of the past all the time. So now I go to the doctor and they tell me I get to be induced, which was perfect, you know, so that I didn't go into labor incarcerated and have to go to an ambulance and a huge scene. I really was happy with the fact that my doctor at the time allowed me to make that decision so that I could have her peacefully in the hospital. So being in jail, I didn't have my own car. I didn't have money to catch the bus. So there was this woman through a program in the city that she used to pick me up and take me places every now and again. And she was one of the most amazing humans I've ever met. And I wish I could remember her name because she helped me so much. So she picked me up that morning when I was going to get induced and drove me to the hospital. I don't remember getting there. I don't remember the details. I don't even remember giving birth to my daughter. But what I do remember is holding her and feeling so torn, even more than I was while she was still inside or while I was still pregnant with her. I didn't want to let her go. I kept her in my room with me, held her every chance I got. Fortunately, I was allowed to have visitors while I was in the hospital after she was born. So I had my son's dad bring him because I wanted him to meet his sister, even though I knew she wasn't going to be in his life right now, or in that moment, I should say. It was important for me for him to meet her. So I did that. And then the family was so sweet. They would bring me gifts and they were there with me. And they brought my oldest with them. She was probably about 5 or 6 years old at the time, if that. I honestly, she might have been younger than that. But I remember her like this happened yesterday. She was shy and she didn't really know what to say or do. But I was giving her a sister and she was so excited. I could see it on her face. Even though she didn't say it out loud, I knew she was so excited. And I felt finally like this was okay. This was the right choice. I'm giving a gift to my oldest and my youngest at the same time, I'm giving them each other. And then a couple days went by and it was time for me to let her go. It was time for me to give her to her parents who were going to raise her. You see, with my oldest, I didn't hand my oldest to them. The hospital took care of that for me. And back then, that was the right choice for me. But in this situation, I didn't want to do it that way. I wanted to hand her to them and see them hold her one more time before I had to say my final goodbye. And my oldest was there, and I didn't want to cause a scene or scare her, but I couldn't hold back the tears. It was like I was giving a piece of my heart away while watching another piece of my heart who didn't even know who I was. So after that was over and I had to go back to jail, it was the hardest thing I ever had to do, you know. One of the hardest things, I guess I should say, was giving my child up and then going back to my own personal hell. I was starting to hate it there. Just wanted out. It had been almost an entire year. And I remember I would write, I had no money, so I didn't have a lawyer. I had nothing fancy going on. It was literally me against the world. And I wrote a handwritten motion to my judge asking for early release. And it had been a while since I had submitted that to the courts. And I never heard anything, and time just kept clicking away. And now I didn't have my daughter with me anymore, and I just wanted to go home. So a couple days went by. I'm not sure how many days it was, but when you're in the work release program, there's this phone that's on the wall. And if it rings, generally that means someone's getting released. And, you know, we always hoped, oh, it's going to be me. It's going to be me. And it was one of the best feelings in the world to see someone else get released, but also the most heart-wrenching experience because you just wanted it to be you. But that day, it was me. I was being released. I remember being so excited and grateful and happy, but I swore. So when they called, I said, shut the fuck up. And yeah, that didn't go over too well, but that was my initial reaction to telling me being told I'm being released from jail. And I remember running into the where the beds were and just telling everybody. And then I was free. I had a little bit of change left, so I called my mom before I left to let her know to come get me. And she didn't understand how to get where I was exactly, so I had to walk quite a bit to meet her somewhere that was familiar to her. And I remember, like, I literally felt like I floated there. I don't remember the walk to my mom's car. All I remember is getting in her car and just, I can't even describe the feeling of freedom. It was like I never felt fresh air before. It was like I never smelled the summer breeze. I had never seen people out and about, or, you know, and be the passenger in the front seat of a car in so long. It was the most amazing thing ever. And I wanted to stay on that cloud forever. But I had nowhere really to go. You see, I had been accepted into a program, but they didn't have any beds yet. So I had to find somewhere to go for the next, I think it was like 30 to 60 days or something like that. And my mom, where she lives, I couldn't stay that long there. So I ended up going back to the adoption agency. They have a house there for pregnant women. Whether you're giving your child up for adoption or not, you can live there, you know, if you're in need of their services. And they allowed me to stay there with them even though I wasn't pregnant anymore. I remember I felt so awkward being there with all these pregnant women, and I just felt like I didn't belong. And my cloud that I was floating on quickly crashed into a storm again. And on next week's episode, I will dive into the storm of, you know, when I fell off my cloud there of being free from jail. You know, when I look back on this story today, as I sit here and talk to you, all I see is strength. I don't see it as, like, yes, it still makes me emotional, still upsets me, but I made the right choice for all of my children in that moment. So if you look back at your life and think of something that still brings you emotions and maybe brings you to tears still, look at it now as you are. See how far you've come to. Life has a funny way of testing us. And there was a time in my life when I thought to myself, I'm sick and tired of being tested. I just want to fucking live and be happy. I don't want to do this anymore. But at the same time, I wasn't doing anything to better myself. I wasn't choosing the right people to be around. I kept falling, you know, quote unquote, victim to bad choices because I didn't do the work. Loving and accepting yourself, my friends, is the most important thing in your life. Because if you don't love and accept yourself, you're going to constantly attract toxicity into your life. Whether it's a relationship, a job, a friendship, anything, you need to look inward to love and accept yourself so you can attract the right things into your life. I'm going to be launching my coaching program next month, where in October, if you're listening to this and it's already October, maybe it's already launched, where I'm going to help people just like you get over the fears and the shame and really look inward for love and acceptance. So stay tuned for more on that. And if you haven't already, please make sure to join my Facebook group. It's called the Let Good Things In Show. I'll link it again in the show notes. We are having a launch party / meetup party next month as well. And, you know, if you want to be invited, you have to be a part of the group. So I really want all of you there. So make sure you're in my group. And the second to last thing is I'm going to give you some affirmations. These may be ones that I've said before, but they're important and I want you to hear them again. Starting with, I am an intention, and what I want is waiting for me. I am an intention, and what I want is waiting for me. I can achieve amazing things regardless of my past. I can achieve amazing things regardless of my past. And don't forget my favorite, one of my favorites. I am enough. I am enough. Thank you again for tuning in today. And as always, remember, you are stronger than you think. And you can have the life you imagine, regardless of your past. Make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of the show. And I will talk to you all soon.